What if I told you that I am managing a full building? Yeah, the whole building. I'm the manager of my building. Yeah, that will be today's episode. I'm going to tell you how this came to be and the huge challenges of managing neighbors. Yeah, your worst nightmare. Neighbors from all kinds of backgrounds that kind of hate each other. How can you get all of them in the same page, really, to reconstruct a building that is falling apart? Yeah, that'll be today's episode. I'm really excited. It's been a year in the making story, and it's finally has a conclusion, and I want to tell you all about it. Before we get started, make sure to support this podcast by sharing it with your entrepreneurial friends. And if you are so nice to go and give this a 5-star review, that will be amazing. While you're listening to this, this is a podcast. That's the beauty of it. You can do other stuff. So yeah, just if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or actually any streaming platform, you can go and find the rating button. Click there. Give us a 5-star review, and that would be amazing. If you have any questions or you want to connect, follow me on Twitter. My handle is WBE Tiago. Now, let's get started with today's episode. In the beginning of the year, my wife and I decided to buy an apartment. Yeah, our first flat that we were renting before and said, okay, let's do this. And it was a really exciting moment, obviously. We couldn't afford much, but we had some money that we could spend. So the whole process of finding a flat where we see ourselves living and spending the next of our years as a couple together was an interesting challenge. And if you went through it, you know that it takes a lot of time, right? So you need to find the perfect spot. First of all, you need to like figure out as a couple like what you want. A good thing was that we have very similar tastes and kind of goals. So we knew that both of us wanted to have a place where the location actually matter. That is not in the suburbs, where we don't need to take the car everywhere, where there's actually a neighborhood around us. So after kind of deciding what were the criteria of the flat, of the location, what type of flat we wanted, we went just, you know, flat hunting. Very tiring. I think it was a process of maybe 5 months, 6 months, always like waiting for the perfect opportunity. And then we did find a great opportunity and we acquired it. The only thing that was not ideal was the building itself. The flat was nice. We actually had to do some like remodeling to it, but it was fine. The building though was kind of falling apart, and especially the facade. The front facade is bad. The back facade is really bad, really really bad. But we looked at it, and we actually kind of went through some of the minutes of the meetings, you know, the neighbor association meetings. And we thought, you know, maybe this is just people are lazy and they just need someone to come here and kind of dynamize a little bit, you know, get things moving. And that's the only thing preventing this from, you know, everyone from fixing the building. Because there were no major problems, at least from the minutes. No one was owing money. There was no apparent problems. So I thought, okay, let's go ahead. Let's buy the flat. We did that. We remodeled it, which was really an interesting challenge by itself, because like I don't really know anything about, or I didn't know anything. Now I know a little bit more, but anything about remodeling or constructions, anything really. Like there's so many things that you just take for granted that we don't know. Like how does water come through our pipes to our toilets and kitchen? How does that happen, right? How is the electricity? Like how where are the wires? Like how is everything connected? Like a lot of things I didn't know and I had to learn. I had to learn because I don't know if it's the same in the country you live in, but in Portugal especially, it's really, really hard to find constructors, you know, companies that you can trust. either they try to scam you, they run, there's terrible stories of like people that have run away, they lost money, like 30,000 euros because these construction companies just disappear and you don't know how to reach out to them. So obviously, one of the things that we need to do is get reviews, like anything, right? Any service that you hire, reviews are really important here in Portugal as well. So the first thing I do is I go around to all my family, my friends, and ask them, hey, can you recommend anyone to do the constructions? They did recommend. Obviously, there were some issues. Obviously, there's little details that I wish were a bit better made, you know, but one thing that I've learned that is the perfect is the enemy of the good. Yeah. So if you're always looking for something super, super good, super, super perfect, it will just kind of preventing you from enjoying the flat and it'll take ages. Anyways, it was very, very decent. Everything was really nice. We loved the flat, how it turned out. But then we had our first meeting, you know, the neighbors association meeting. And we did, and we realized that the company, there's actually a company managing the building, they were doing a terrible job. And I don't really blame them. There's one really, you know, annoying thing about Portuguese people and Portuguese culture, and it's very much related to business. Portuguese people, in general, want to pay really little. Always try to save money as much as you can. To the point where people can just not conduct their business. If you're a company and you're managing a building, there's so much work. There's so much work, you know, because you need to, first of all, like align with all the neighbors. You need to follow the constructions when there are constructions. You need to like monitor the building, make sure everything is fine, pay the bills, make sure everyone is paying. This is something expensive. I mean, there's a lot of hours that are spent on this if this is done properly. However, here in Portugal, people have kind of an idea of how much they should pay these companies. And if another company comes and asks for the money that they actually need, everyone will be like, no, let me just go to the other company because they're asking for a much cheaper budget. But obviously, they won't do the work. So one thing that I like to say is that here in Portugal, people rather pay cheap and complain then pay the proper amount and have a good service. Unfortunately, this happens for everything. It's not only for this. But yeah, what also happens is that these companies, they are somehow scamming you. They are tricking you. They are telling you that they can do the job for this amount of money, but in reality, they never plan to do the job properly. And that's what was happening. This building needed a lot of work, both political work. Yes, there's a lot of politics in managing a building, and I'll tell you all about it. But as well, it needed you and the company to follow through with everything and really monitor those constructions, and basically needed a lot of time, a lot of dedication. And this company was not giving that. Furthermore, this is like a mixing pot of cultures. Imagine a building with, there's 10 flats here, but each flat is different. This is a building from the 60s, okay? So it's very old. It's built from the 60s, but you have people that have lived here almost since the beginning of its constructions. Like there's people that are 80 years old, 90 years old, really, you know, old people, older generation. Then you have people that are here for like 30 years, and then there's people that just, you know, moved, like me and my wife, or you know, other people. So at the moment, the state of the building is a bit mixed. So there's old people, younger people, and people like foreigners, people that do not speak Portuguese. So we have Americans, we have Australians, and imagine that this clash of cultures, it's not easy because, you know, on top of that, there's a lot of problems, you know, problems that come with the building being old. There's like the facade is kind of falling apart. There's the problems with pipes. There are old pipes. So all of this kind of created the perfect storm where when we went for the first meeting, it seemed that there was nothing that we could do. It seems that we just talked and the company that was managing just talked, said a bunch of bullshit. Nothing happened. I waited a few months to see if something would move along, but nothing did. It was hard because at the same time, I had just moved in. I didn't want to be the guy that's like, hey, let me take over. I mean, no one knows me. I'm the person that no one wants to talk with because I just moved in. And here in Portugal, you know, seniority is something quite important. But at the same time, there were these problems going on. And the neighbors, they were kind of fighting and nothing was moving forward. One huge problem that we're having is a clash between an American and a Portuguese person that he's here for, I think now more than 30 years. And they cannot communicate, literally. They cannot communicate. One doesn't speak English, the other one doesn't speak Portuguese. And they have very different approaches. Really, it's the cliche. The Portuguese person complaining about everything, not trusting anyone, and then the American kind of trying to solve everything with money and threatening to sue everybody. That's really, I'm not making this up. You have like the total cliches of each different culture. And yeah, so I thought, okay, maybe there's something I need to do here. You know, my entrepreneurship passion and, you know, trades started to really flare up. And I decided, okay, if nothing gets done, the building will start falling apart even more and it will be terrible. And the more time we waste, the more urgent each problem becomes, right? So that's kind of the main issue. And obviously, one thing that I forget to tell you is that some people have money, some people can pay for repairs, others don't. And that's a really interesting and challenging thing of a neighbor association, which is like, ideally, everyone is supposed to contribute with the same amount, or at least an amount that is proportional to the size, to the square footage of their flats. So even if one person has a lot of money, they cannot just, I mean, they can loan or something, but it's, you know, a mess. So you need to find a situation where everyone is comfortable to pay. Yeah, so that was basically it. That was the setup. And I said, okay, I want to do something. I need to do something. And both for our safety and as well for, you know, the building, it's such a nice location, such a nice building that if we make everything nice, it will value, right? The value of the building will rise as well. So, yeah, first thing, I was innocent enough to think that I could just try to mediate. And I thought, okay, I thought I was naive enough to think that the only problem between this American and this Portuguese was the fact that they couldn't communicate. If I could be in the middle of all and kind of help them translate, everything would be fine. Oh boy, was I mistaken. The moment I started to talk with the Portuguese people, I called them up actually, and I told them, hey, what's going on? They got super aggressive with me. They thought that it was not my place, that I was this quote-unquote new guy that has just arrived to the building and wants to get in the middle of it. They thought I was against them. They're also very hard to manage somehow. They didn't trust me at all. So that was a very frustrating phone call. I didn't know how to handle this. I'm not a confrontational person. And when someone is screaming at you, when someone is being aggressive at you, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to defend myself. One thing, though, that I think I did really well, because it's kind of part of my personality, is that I stayed calm. Through the whole conversations, I stayed calm and I tried to understand their point of view. And I think this is good, because if I would try to be more aggressive, then I don't know. Sometimes it works. If it doesn't work, it's terrible, because then we will kind of just damage the whole relationship from then on and no one will trust us. So I thought, okay, let's listen and let's try to be very impartial. And believe me, sometimes this was really, really hard because they were coming at me somehow, right? There were a lot of, or some accusations that were totally untruthful. But they were being thrown at me. And I was like, okay, what's going on? So yeah, the first thing I decided to do was that I needed to be an administrator. I needed to kind of fire this company that was managing the building. And I needed to kind of take over. And that was hard because it was a yearly contract. The yearly contract that would only end in April 2025. So yeah, what can we do here? I tried to kind of collect a bunch of evidence that we had that this company was not doing their job. And together with another administrator here of the building, there was kind of one representative of the building. We tried to kick this company out. And it was not easy. I had to kind of implement a revolution. Yeah, this is true. A revolution within the building. And the first thing I did was, let's create a WhatsApp group. Like, let's create a group where every neighbor is there. And yes, this can be bad. This can be a mistake because I can imagine people just writing messages and accusations. But yeah, let's do it. We need a place where we can all communicate. So that's what we did. I created a WhatsApp group. That was actually in the first meeting we had. This was my suggestion, still with the other company. And within this WhatsApp group, I started planning my coup. I started kind of organizing a secret meeting, a meeting that we, the neighbors, would have together without the company that was managing the building. And some people were very on board. Some people were like, yeah, cool, let's do it. Yes. And they would approach me, actually. It was a funny story where I was just here working. And suddenly I just get a text from one of my neighbors saying, hey, are you home? I was like, yeah. Can you come to my place? I was like, sure. I just went there. And he was like cooking. And we had like a conversation. And it was so political. It was like, Tiago, I really support you. I love what you're doing. And then he started like also telling me a little bit of the kind of the story. I started learning more about the story of this building and the neighbors and why they kind of don't like each other. And what is the whole story of how we came to this. And so I did feel that there was some support. There was like actually a lot of people wanted to do a change. So that was nice. That was positive. And I started to plan this revolution, this meeting, and we had this meeting. But of course, there was also some neighbors that were not very happy with this. They're like, hey, but shouldn't we talk with the company as well? This is not good. We should not do anything, you know, in their back. But I was trying to tell them that we tried to talk with the company, but they would not fix anything. I mean, again, can you blame them? Like, for the money we're paying them, it's not enough. Anyways, we had this meeting. I was so nervous. For the first time, I was there in a meeting and there was no other. And there was people that some of them, they already kind of told me, they schooled me, they told me that I'm new. I shouldn't be, you know, being involved in this. But, you know, my drive to change things, I just kept pushing. And I'm not going to lie. What I've learned from managing my own business, the self-confidence I've gained from that really helped as well to know that I was able to manage this. And a lot of people might not have this confidence. I had the confidence, but I didn't know I was capable of. It was like kind of fake it until you make it. So yeah, we just got together and we went for a voting. And the voting was, I think most people were in favor of us trying to cancel this contract with the company and for me and the other person here in the building to become co-managers of the building. But it wasn't that easy. I went there. I went there to the headquarters of this company, like a small office, and I went there to cancel the contract in person. So I armed myself with a bunch of documents showing proof that they were not doing their things. And I walked. Imagine like this building. It's kind of complex with multiple offices. And there was a security guard and I told him, hey, I'm going for this company. And it's like, yeah, all the way down, all the way in the back. So I just went down two flights of stairs. And in the last door, there was like in a piece of paper, the name of the company, like a little bit dodgy. So I knocked. And the guy that I already met there was the guy managing our building came and said, hey, what do you want? And it's like, hey, I'm here to cancel the contract. And he was like, clearly not a lot of people have done this, but just for you to understand, if you search the name of this company on Google, the first thing you see is complaints. Yeah, they have 1.3 stars on Google. It's really, really bad. So we are not the only ones that are being, quote unquote, I don't want to say scammed, but mistreated. So yeah, he was okay. Let me talk with the manager. And he called the manager. She came. And we had a meeting. We had a meeting together. We just sat down in this meeting room, very poorly lit. There was no windows, just this kind of white lights. It seemed like an interrogation. And I was there with my papers and I was showing these papers to them. And they were telling me, no, it's not our fault. And they were like kind of finding excuses for everything. And I was kind of prepared for it. But then again, it's one of those really awkward situations where I just need to listen. I need to listen and try to be empathetic, try to understand what they're coming from, but also being very assertive. That's something that I've learned. That's something that I've learned about this whole process, which is put your ego aside. I've done an episode, if you go back two or three episodes, I've done an episode about this, you know, how in business you need to put your ego aside. And it's not really in business, it's in life. So one thing that I always kept clear in my mind is my goals. I want to achieve this. Like my goal is to make sure that all the problems with the building are fixed, that we get, you know, things done. I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to be upset. I don't want my stress levels to go up. Like that's not what I want. So my whole approach has been like this. Be calm, listen, but be assertive. So it was really interesting because they were like trying to find the excuses and saying and this and that and that. And it's not our fault because the company, the construction company was the one scamming us. And I was like, okay, trying to stay calm. And in the end, I don't know what they were expecting, but I still said, I still want to cancel. I'm sorry. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but I still want to cancel. And they said, okay, I will think about it. And I left. I left and they said they would think about it. In the end, they didn't accept. They said, no, if you want to cancel, you still need to pay the full amount until April. Actually, there was a little clause in the contract that saying, if you want to cancel, you only need to pay 70%. So this was really, really tricky because I just wanted to move things forward. I wanted to find companies. I wanted to like kind of get a budget. But this company was just bottlenecking everything. They were not doing a good job, but they're also not allowing you to do a good job. And that was fucking frustrating. There's nothing that upsets me more than like a roadblock, than someone being there. And this happens a lot in Portugal. This happens a lot in Portugal. Like people just, you know, they get defeated by inactivity. When you need to always be constantly pushing people that are not doing their best, when they don't answer, when they don't get back to you, you just get tired. This tires you down and eventually things do not happen. And I was really, there was a point there, this was one of the lowest point of this whole experience, was I went back, I told the neighbors what happened. Some of the neighbors said like, yeah, okay, I told you so. We need to wait. And I was about to give up. I was about to say, okay, fuck it. I've done everything I could. Let's give up. Let's wait until April and see. But at the same time, you know, parts of our facade were kind of falling apart. Things were falling and we couldn't wait. The winter was coming. Yeah, Game of Thrones. Winter was coming and, you know, with the rain and the winds and everything, this would just make every matter more urgent. So I just regained some energy and I convinced somehow everyone that, okay, fuck it. Let's pay the 70%. It's not that much. And it's worth it. It's worth it for us to pay the 70% of the money remaining and then really fix the issue. And I was able to convince people and they voted on this. In the end, this company was so messed up that we are still like, they told us how much we need to pay, but then their accounting was wrong. I told them about that. And since then, I never heard about them. So I don't know actually what's going on, but we voted. We had another meeting where everyone voted, myself and the other person, as the co-administrator of the building. I had the power finally to change things. So yeah, that was like the biggest win. That was the biggest win. Now, the next step was I need to find companies to fix the issue. But there are so many issues. Like, there's so many. Everything is more urgent than the other. And how do you like decide? And the problem here, something that I've learned, is that every neighbor wants their issue to be fixed first. So imagine the meetings. One person saying, my issue needs to be fixed immediately because, you know, there's water coming to my place. The other one says, but there are stones falling on my whatever balcony. I need mine to be fixed first. And there's everything and different languages and everyone kind of threatening to sue and trying to manage this whole thing. I had so many really long conversations with many, you know, neighbors. And my one thing that I've learned, again, like, my approach has been listen, be empathetic, but be assertive. That has been my main focus. And there were, you know, some neighbors that they would kind of threaten us and say, like, hey, if you don't fix this, I'm not going to pay. If you don't do this, I'm not doing that. Or if you don't do this, I don't allow the other neighbor to do that. So all of this was really hard to manage. So I need to stay impartial, listen, and figure things out. Yeah, so then it was a lot of work of just calling companies and getting budgets. And again, it's a lot of work. So that's back to paying very little to these companies. It's impossible. With all the work I am putting in the volunteering basis, like, these companies would need to charge hundreds and hundreds to do this work properly, or even thousands. Yeah, so I don't know how, but eventually we had another last meeting where we came up with a budget and we decided, okay, I called the professional and I asked the professional, what should we start with? And they told us, and I'm using their opinion. So there's a lot of, like, not, especially at first, use others' opinion, use the professional's opinion. I think that's the best way to do it. Try to see myself as only like the middleman, like the person that is, again, an administrator, but I'm not the one, because I don't really understand anything about constructions. So I cannot give my, you know, opinions. I need to listen to the professionals. The problem is sometimes you cannot trust the professionals, but okay. So I started to really, and for me, this happens in every part of business. It's more important for me to hire someone that I can trust, that I can have a conversation with, someone that will listen to my points. This is really important. And this is more important than the money I'm going to spend. I'd rather pay more to have someone that I know is competent and that I can, you know, have a conversation with, and I can kind of show my problems, my challenges, my concerns, and they will, like, listen to that, then someone, and you'll meet a lot of arrogant people in this, you know, construction world, where they will try to hide their incompetence with arrogance. That's something that happens so much. I don't know if it happens in your country, but here it happens so much. And it happened to me with my accountant previously with PodSqueeze, happened to me with this company. When I approach someone and they try to diminish you with their arrogance, they try to kind of hide the facts with their arrogance, that's a really bad, like, that's a red flag right there. That's a big, you know, bright red flag. So once you start asking questions, and this happens, like, they tell you something and you start asking, but why? And then they start to kind of being annoyed at you because you are asking questions. That's a red flag. Don't go for it. I prefer saying, okay, great, let's not do business together. Let's find someone else, someone that I can trust. And that's what we did. So we found a company and they started their constructions. And they started their constructions about a month ago to kind of repair the whole facade. The facade was terrible, really. Imagine, I don't know, you would look at it and imagine there's like water damage. There's like pieces of the kind of balconies that are falling apart because of the water damage. It was not structural. Like, I mean, I don't think anything would like ruin like or fall apart totally, but there was like little pieces falling. And yeah, the paint job was completely destroyed. There were stains, like really, really bad. And the moment they started like working together, where we started working with this company, they started, you know, kind of fixing the issue, I was feeling more hopeful. Like, are we going to make this? Is it, you know, possible? And sure, some of the neighbors were still complaining about little details, but I was like, okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. And yesterday, or rather on Friday, it was the last day of that final, you know, first job, and it's done. It looks amazing. Like the whole facade, it's fixed. All the cracks are fixed. All the you know, stains are fixed. Everything is painted. It looks so nice. It's complete. It looks like a new fucking building. And sure, there's still a lot to be done, you know, because we had to come up with this budgeting, and this budget needs to be paid every month. Some people were able to pay already in advance, you know, which is great because it gave us enough money to start with a portion. So there's like a lot of, you know, budget planning that you need to do. And there's still a lot of stuff to be fixed. There's a whole other facade. There's so many other problems. But it is a huge win for me. It's a huge win for 2024. It's a incredible Christmas gift. Because, yeah, the building looks awesome. And it's funny because I didn't get paid for this. I mean, I had to pay, you know. I had to spend time, a lot of my time. But I still find very rewarding to be able to contribute this. And this shows somehow to myself that this is why I love entrepreneurship so much. You know, it's not really about the money. It's about the contribution. It's about like being myself. Like that. I know this seems so self-centric, but the fact that it was me that contributed for this, that if it wasn't for me, and here I'm sure, if it wasn't for me, this building would still be looking terrible. Like this whole facade would still be looking terrible. And it was because I had, you know, the energy, you know, to put into this, that this changed. And I know it's a small thing. It's a very small thing. It won't change the course of the world, but it's a little thing that makes me feel unique. It makes me feel that my country, it gives me a little purpose, if you will, right? And there's still a lot to be done. And I've gained confidence in myself that I'm able to deal with these, you know, issues. And it's funny because so many times when I told everyone that I was like, I'm managing this building, I'll start. People are like, Tiago, what are you doing? It's so annoying. Don't do it. It's super hard to do it. I was like, nah, I can do it. Let's try. There's always a part of me that will think that I won't be able to do it. And this part, this voice, you know, voice in the back of my head used to be much louder. But the moment you start doing and you start achieving, you start convincing yourself that you can do it. I think society will try to kind of limit you, your family and your friends. They have good intentions. They want to protect you, right? They want you to avoid taking risks. And they want to protect you. But in a way, that's also limiting you. And that's also one thing that I've learned. And I'm going to do another episode about like everything I've learned about, or like a wrap up of the 2024 year, and everything I've learned. But this is huge, you know. It's trusting yourself. Trusting that you are able to do things, that you will fail, that's normal, that's okay. But as long as you have like the capability of analyzing yourself, analyzing what you're doing, and as well, if you trust yourself enough that when you are in terrible conditions, you will be able to manage, then why not, right? Why not going for it? Yeah. So yeah, that's my whole story. I'll keep you up to date because there's still a lot going on with the building, a lot of things we need to improve. I cannot wait to have everything finished. But yeah, that was a huge win of 2024, a very, very challenging and interesting story. And that's the end of today's episode. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a message at WBTiago. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And yeah, I would love to listen from you. Follow me on Twitter, again, WBTiago. Give 5-star reviews to these episodes and to this podcast. This is also what keeps me going, to know that, you know, people are enjoying it, to have more listeners. So yeah, if you do like it, make sure to share it with the world. I wish you a merry, merry Christmas, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.